You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine. The first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who keeps the alternative medicine wackos at bay. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
We also have Daniel-san, Daniel Stout from stoutlabs.com. Is it stoutlabs.com or stoutlab.com?
Stoutlabs.
Okay, with an S.
Hi.
Plural. He has more than one lab. And he's a coder extraordinaire. If you need coding for your website or any kind of database stuff online, all that kind of crap, he can do it, and is amazing. So he's really good. And also, a future coder, Cody Gilmer.
Oi!
He's a codee, but he's going to be a coder.
We hope so.
Is a codee the person that you code for, Daniel? I guess it would be. You're the coder, so they would be the codee.
I call that the person with money.
There you go. Exactly right. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question, you're embarrassed to take your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POO-HEAD. Sorry. I'm so used to doing it by myself. Sorry, Dr. Scott. You can do this one.
POO-HEAD.
Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine. At Dr. Scott WM, at Stout Labs, right?
That's correct.
And Cody, you're not on, but you can follow his band at Indie Ghost Band, and you should follow them. And also tell South by Southwest to effing have them this year. Have you heard anything? I'm talking to you.
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah.
You're like looking at the computer. I mean, there's been a few things on there. Not from them. No.
Yeah.
Not a thing from them yet.
Yeah. Nothing yet.
Okay. Nothing yet.
But you guys applied for South by. You have to apply.
Yeah, yeah. No, the application is put in. I have seen some of your followers putting up stuff.
Have you?
And I appreciate that, guys. Very
okay.
much so.
Yeah.
Cool.
So at SXSW and tell them you want at Indie Ghost Band.
That would be badass.
Or you're not coming. That's what I'm going to say.
Hell yeah, raise hell with them.
Tell them that we could bring the Weird Medicine show there and we could do a...
Well, you know, we could do that. Actually, they have, like, classes and stuff. It's like MoogFest in the sense that you go and there are little classrooms and seminars and stuff. We could do a live podcast from there.
Totally. That'd be cool. I love me some Austin. I love keeping it weird.
Medical
in Texas.
Rock and roll.
Right on.
Well, anyway, we're not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on the show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse, practitioner, physician, assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, or whatever. I swear my mic, though, sounds tinny to me. Does it sound tinny to you guys?
No, it sounds fine.
It does?
No,
I don't sound
no.
different than you?
Well, I think
it's just my
your
ear.
Voice sounds a little different, but not your mic.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Check out stuff.drsteve.com. That's stuff.drsteve.com for all your shopping needs. The holidays are coming. You want to go there. And you can click right through to Amazon if you want to, or you can scroll down and find all the interesting things that we've talked about on the show, including the sex device called something. I don't remember what it is. Dr. Vag or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. But it's down at the very bottom. I put it there just so kids wouldn't accidentally scroll into it.
Dr. Sex.
But go to stuff.drsteve.com. The best stocking stuffers or Hanukkah gifts are tweakedaudio.com earbuds. They're the best earbuds on the market for the price and the best customer service anywhere. How sick are you of buying earbuds like at some of these box stores? Then you get them home, you use them two or three times. Now they got a short in them. Tweakedaudio.com, they're such a higher quality. And if they bust, they'll fix them for you. As long as you didn't like use them as anal beads or something. Go to simplyherbals.net for Dr. Scott's website. You can. It is right now is a great time to get Simply Herbals nasal rinse. Do you have it back in stock, Dr. Scott?
Not yet, but they said it's coming in.
Come on.
Hey, I'm doing my best. Okay. You know how it is.
I know. It's not you. It's them.
I know.
Well, okay. There's a lot of demand and no supply.
I know.
So, but check him out at simplyherbals.net. He's got other stuff there, too. GVAC's favorite thing was fatigue reprieve. Tasty's favorite thing was stress less. Do you sell that damn crazy allergy medicine
on there? Stuff. No, I should, though. That stuff's wonderful.
That's awesome.
We burn through it.
I'll have to say, it's really good.
We do. It's wonderful stuff. No side effects like a lot of the
Nothing. I had an N of one, but I've had excellent results with that.
So. Except for that time that we thought it was a sinus infection, it was the flu.
Oh, yeah.
Then it wasn't so good.
Yeah, it did not so good. We'll be talking about that in a minute.
Exactly.
We have a great guest coming up. Let me get through these plugs. Noom.drsteve.com. Danielson, you haven't seen me since I lost 40 pounds.
I thought you looked smaller.
Yeah, remember Dr. Steve's rule. For every 35 pounds of weight loss, you gain 1 inch of penis length. And I can confirm that that's true because I've lost right at my ideal body weight. I've got a few more pounds to go. It's always the last ones are the hardest to shed, but I'm really enjoying my travels with Noom at noom.drsteve.com. You can do this with me. You can get 20% off if you decide to do it, but you get 2 weeks free to decide whether you want to even mess with it. So go to noom.drsteve.com. And, you know, if a bunch of you Noomers will email me, we'll set up a Facebook group and we can all just hang out and talk about how fat we are or how fat we used to be.
You can Noom together.
Just for us, say, okay, Noomer.
There you go.
Shots fired.
Okay, Noomer.
Noomers.
That's hilarious.
Noomers.
Yes, we'll do that. We'll just call it Okay, Noomer. That's brilliant. Who knew Daniel had it in him?
I like Daniel. Daniel's
I like singing. Him. Yeah. Daniel's a pretty good feller.
He's short.
He did our ETN comedy website. It took him literally 5 minutes to do it. And then he's worked with me on the drsteve.com website as well. But I've got some ideas for stuff that we want to do. And Cody told me he wanted to code because he's sick of having a day job being, you know, prepping the hors d'oeuvre, the app line, right?
All of it. I'm all-inclusive in that damn restaurant.
Don't name any names. But, you know, working in a restaurant is hard.
I'm just over it.
Even if you're the executive chef, from what I hear from executive chefs, it kind of sucks. So it's...
I've been doing the same job for 8 years now. And I'm not getting paid what I'd want to get paid to do it, and I'm just done.
Well,
just
and you need to get paid being the guitarist for Indie Ghost, but...
We're working hard.
Anyway, yeah, it's the hardest working band in the world, except for Jackal. Jackal used to be... Are you familiar with them at all?
Yeah, definitely.
They're a Kingsport band.
Are you shitting
me? Yeah, no, they're from here.
Oh, yeah,
no
totally.
No fucking
yeah.
way.
Well, from a town not too far from where we are right now, but it's called Kingsport, and that's, you know, where we do our comedy events is in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And, Jackal is from there.
I feel like I've heard that before, but I didn't log it.
And they
That's
were
ridiculous.
Called the hardest working band in rock because I think they would work like 360 days a year. They were on the road.
That's pretty intense.
It's crazy. But anyway.
Damn.
So you guys are second hardest working band in the world.
We try.
If you're lazy like I am, and Dr. Scott can attest how lazy I am, get Freshly. They deliver fresh, prepared meals that make eating right super easy. They're all gluten-free. You can say, I don't like pork, I don't like fish, I don't like meat, whatever you want to do. And they've got a meal or two for you. And you can use my link to get 6 dinners for $39 for 2 weeks. That's $20 off each week. Give it a try and let me know what you think. It's Freshly. drsteve.com. We'll take you there. And then if you want archives of the show, you can get a thumb drive for $30. You can get access to our Dropbox that has all the folders on it for $20. Go to drsteve.com. Just find the link. It's on the front. Or you can go to premium.drsteve.com for $1.99 a month. You get all access to all of our shows. And if you use the offer code FLUID, it's half of that. So it's a buck a month for 3 months. You can just download everything and then just sign off if you want to. Anyway, okay, enough of the plugs. Without further ado, whatever ado is, we have the host of the new Love, Sex, and Relationship Advice talk show on Compound Media. I never heard of it. Called The Wet Spot. She's a regular on Sirius XM and the Gas Digital Network. She's seen on Wendy Williams. That I'd like to see. I want to talk to you about that. The Reels Network and New York Comedy Festival. Welcome, everybody. Chrissy Mayer. She's delightful.
Hello, guys. This is thrilling to be here. Yep. And, you know, had I known that this would be audio only, I wouldn't have worn a push-up bra.
And you look delightful. And I'm the way I have the studio set up, I'm the only one that can see it. But thank you very much.
It's like a private show.
It is very much.
Actually, the full name of my show is Chrissy Mayer's Wet Spot, which is very specific.
Very specific.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I thought of the name, and then I was like, no, I can't name it that. That's too gross. And my boyfriend was like, no, that's actually perfect. So,
it is perfect. It's a great show, and it adds a bit of estrogen to an otherwise estrogen-free kind of network. And you get to hang out with the delightful Pat Dixon and some of the other folks that are over there at Compound Media. So, no, that's cool. That's cool. It's great. People should check it out. Do you guys ever do free weeks anymore for people that aren't subscribers so that they can check it out? I know that one time they were doing that.
Yeah, I know that they were, too. I think I need to remind them to do it a bit more often. I was working on seeing if I could get, like, 2-week free passes to give out to people because I think just the occasional free episode on YouTube is not quite enough. So
right.
I'm going to remind the big daddies at Compound to get on that 2-week pass.
Yeah, I think this is just a really, you know, it's the Wild West. Nobody really has a real hand. Well, maybe Joe Rogan does, but other than him, we're all still just trying to figure out how in the hell to make this thing work.
And yeah, I'm on a horse right now. It really is.
but you're a stand-up, and but you have a day job as well.
Yes, and I don't really talk about it because it's like the least interesting. But, you know, I don't mind because I'm not one of these comics that's like okay to just eat ramen and be poor. So I'm like, you know what, my parents paid for me to go to college. Like, let me hang on to health insurance as long as I can.
Absolutely. No, that's great. And we can talk about that stuff, too. You actually had a question for us. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because you and I got into a thing and people thought we were getting heated. I was never. What is that?
Sounds like your doorbell.
Is that your doorbell?
I think it's doorbell.
Okay. I don't know what the hell that was.
Unless you just said the magic word.
Yes, it's Groucho, and I said the magic word.
Did you say heated?
people thought you and I were in a heated discussion. I never took it that way. I thought it was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
And but we were talking about influenza vaccine, and then I said, "Well, we need to get you on, and we can even debate this if you want to." But you asked me a very interesting question that you wanted to talk about, and I wondered if there was some basis for it. But go ahead and tell us what that very interesting medical question is, and then we'll see if we can answer it.
I mean, of course, there's basis for it. Like, I could be really cool and be like, "Oh, hypothetically," but I mean, obviously, I'm asking this because it's happened to me. I've experienced it. It's like, you know, I mean, that's why people ask questions because it happens.
That's right.
So, and I've noticed that this has happened with my boyfriend like a few times. Like, we've been together like 5 years.
Boyfriend, click.
No,
I'm just kidding. Sorry.
What?
Nothing. I was being an asshole. I said boyfriend, click.
Should I have kept that?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm
hypothetically, let's say I've been with people where this has happened.
I was just being a dipshit. Go ahead.
You know, we're like getting, you know, we're doing what adults do.
Yep.
Foreplay, getting into sex, right? And then he will get like such an intense headache. And sometimes we have to like shut it down and go get a snack or something. And I don't know what that's attributed to, if it's like a tension headache or like a lifestyle thing, or you know, like, is it something? Is it like is it like a physical symptom of something else, or is it like mind body connection, like where you just can get yourself, like basically bring it on yourself?
It's the old classic sex headache, and it actually
classic.
is a real syndrome that some unfortunate people have because, you know, they might not have a headache any other time except when they're doing the one thing that humans were really kind of created to do, which is, you know, engage in the act of procreation. Right. We've all sort of forgotten that's why it was invented, because it's so much fun. But so that's a real problem for people. And the headache is severe. Now, the first time. So for people who are out there, if this happens to you the first time and it's a thunderclap type headache, the worst headache you've ever had, real sharp, and it can come with orgasm or it can come during sexual activity. It's not as often after. But if it's the first time and it comes on suddenly, you really got to get it checked out, because that could be a sign of something else. But now, if you didn't do that, like your boyfriend didn't, and then it just keeps right, and he didn't die, and he happens again, and it happens over and over and over again. This is the as I said, the sort of classic sex headache. Most of the time are nothing to worry about, but it makes, like you said, completing the transaction kind of difficult, because sometimes it can be so severe he has to stop. And that's,
yeah, I'm there waiting for my change, and the transaction is not going to be
completed. Right. Yeah, you're not getting, he isn't getting his end either if it's happening before he orgasms. So if it happens during orgasm and you haven't finished yet, it's like, oh, well, I've checked out, and I'm going to go get a pizza. You just finish yourself off. But
see you next month.
Yeah, so, right. So, like I said, usually they're not a cause for a concern. But if it's something that is preventing him from enjoying his life, then he should go get checked out. And so what are the causes? Nobody really knows. It could be, there could be serious things that could cause it, like an abnormal connection between the arteries and the veins in the head. They will probably, when they work him up, do an MRI or a CT scan.
Which head, though?
Exactly. Very good. Here. You get one of those.
Give yourself a bill.
So yeah, they will do a CT scan of his brain, and just to rule out something that could be serious. And once they've ruled that out, then it's really easy to treat this for the most part. The people who are at risk for that tend to be males and people who had a history of migraines in the past. Do you know if he has a history of headaches in the remote past?
No, I don't think so. I know that he has a history of, like, this very specific sex headache. And it happened to a friend of mine. He was a little bit older, like in his 50s, and he would just get them, like, really bad migraines, but it was, like, just around sex. And he did get it checked out, and we were, like, nervous for a second, like, oh, is it a tumor? But then he's fine.
Yeah, most of the I've seen, when I was doing primary care before I started practicing my specialty, I saw quite a few people with this, and zero of those, that's a very small sample size, had anything serious. This is just one of those damn things. It's like, why would this happen? There's no real good reason for it. But it can be treated. So if it happens occasionally, they will recommend a medication called indomethacin, which is it's a really potent anti-inflammatory agent, and you take it about an hour before sex, which we use it for gout too, which is interesting.
Damn.
I get people saying, well, you know, how come you're giving me morphine for my breathing? And, you know, these happen to, most of them are hospice patients, but it's, you know, I'll explain it that aspirin is good for ankle sprains, but it's also good for preventing heart attack and stroke, right?
So, and then did you say to them, like, you're all right, but I doubt that you'll get those headaches again if you take this?
No. Now you get one of those. Hey.
I'm so surprised. I forgot or / never knew you were a real doctor at any point.
Yeah, it's really hard to believe for the most part.
Hey, I will tell you that indomethacin is tough on your stomach.
It can be tough on your kidneys too. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying for occasional use.
Of course. Yeah.
But you can take it if you're, you know, like me, and you're having sex, you know, once every 6 months, and you have a headache every time you have it. You can take one an hour ahead of time, because if you're like me and on that schedule, you've planned this ahead. It doesn't just, nothing's happening spontaneously.
Every year before the harvest.
Exactly. That's right.
Hey, take your gout pill.
Hey, don't be talking about the gout now. That shit
Dr.
hurts.
Dr. Scott does have the gout.
Man, that shit's bad for you.
Down here they call it the gout.
Gout. Well, fire. That'll make you say a lot of dirty words. Hey, you know, you did mention, though, possibly lifestyle stuff with boyfriend and those headaches, you know, which makes me wonder if he's a smoker, if he does have a little hypertension, you know.
I mean, other than being smoking hot.
Yeah, of course.
Smoke, of course he is.
But he's also not, like, super duper active either, so.
Okay.
That makes four or five of us,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, if that were the case, we'd all be having sex headaches.
Yeah.
So there are some, okay, so that's the occasional medication. You can take it an hour before, and that sometimes will help.
Wait, what's it called?
It's called indomethacin. I'll send it to you. Indomethacin's also its trade name is Indocin. There is another class of medications called beta blockers, which I've heard of those. Excellent for these.
It blocks all the betas. Sort of less than great males from talking to you.
Exactly.
You take a beta blocker, you go out on a Saturday night.
Right.
And cool dudes talk to you.
Exactly. See, that's your boyfriend would be the beta blocker that would stop those guys from doing that. But by the way, do you know Jennifer Hutt? Do you know Jenny Hutt?
Like Pizza Hut's daughter? No, I don't know.
No, okay. Well, ask Anthony. It would be better if you knew her, but she lives right down the street from Anthony. She's on Sirius XM. And I was at Anthony's house playing poker one night, and Jenny was there just because she and I had corresponded, but we'd never met. And so I was at Anthony's. She came down, and her husband came to pick her up. This is the most gorgeous man that I have ever seen in my life. And Anthony and I were both, you know, after he left, we looked at each other, and we said, oh, my God, that is the most beautiful man that we've ever seen. And so now, if I'm on Jenny's show, you know, I'm always like, oh, now, Jenny, how's that Keith doing, that gorgeous husband of yours? And it just embarrasses her. But I'm not sure why I said that. Oh, because we were talking about, this is the perfect alpha male. This guy looks like a Greek god. He is, you know, really something. And, you know, it's something when you get two very... nothing wrong with being any other way, but very heterosexual men going, that's a gorgeous dude. Oh, yeah. But anyway.
Like a Greek god, like he showed up with like a huge cube of feta or something.
Yes.
Or, well, like, hey, eat this.
Exactly right. I don't know. I don't remember. I was the thunderstruck thing just made me just remember what I look him up. It's Keith Hutt, Hutt. Google image him right now and tell me I'm lying. So anyway, not you, but you know, people are listening. Anyway,
yeah, something for your spank bank. Yeah.
So right. So propranolol is the premier beta blocker for this kind of situation, but. What's the problem with propranolol, Dr. Scott?
Can lower your blood pressure.
That's
and
one
you
thing.
You not have great erections.
It lowers the blood pressure to the one organ that needs high blood pressure, which is the penis. Yes. Exactly right.
So why don't they just call it a boner blocker?
We did call them that, as a matter of fact, when they first came out, because we were putting everybody on them, and then they came in saying that they couldn't have intercourse. Matter of fact, I got a free trip to an island in the Caribbean. I got to be careful because of HIPAA, because I had a, let's just say I heard about a patient that came and his physician in the this Caribbean island had put him on a beta blocker, and his main complaint was that he couldn't have intercourse with his wife, and he was a casino manager. Well, shit, now I've said too much.
Blink twice if it was Jeffrey Epstein's island.
This was 40 years ago, but anyway, I got a free trip out of it by taking this person off the beta blocker and putting them on something else. But so that's one of the problems. But they do have cardioselective beta blockers that have less effect on sexual activity now. So that may be the answer for your boyfriend, because I'm assuming that you guys are at least attempting to have regular intercourse. It's not just infrequent. So
I mean, we're both pretty busy. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. 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 But you're young, and you guys should be having intercourse frequently, and that might be the answer for him. So if you want to give him my information, I can at least send him some info that he could take to his primary care. If he doesn't have a primary care, I can hook him up. Okay.
All right. That sounds good.
All right.
I imagine like you have cabinets in the office there that are just full of pills.
He's got cabinets full of all kinds of shit.
No, it's true. We have samples. We have drug representatives that come through and leave us samples of medications and stuff that we can then give out to people. The problem with that is it tends to be branded stuff, and that's the most expensive. Nobody is sampling the generic stuff. But sometimes if we've got a generic analog, we can give people the branded stuff, or sometimes their insurance will pay for it, and hell, we'll just, you know. But yes, so we do. We have a cabinet. It's the sample closet. It's actually not just a cabinet. It's a whole walk-in closet full of pills.
Wow.
Nothing interesting, though. Now, the last interesting thing that they ever sampled us was intranasal Stadol. So when intranasal Stadol came out, it was not scheduled. It was not a scheduled drug. It was a pain reliever, but it wasn't scheduled. It was quote-unquote non-addictive. Sick. Well, Stadol is a mu receptor agonist antagonist, so I'll explain what that is.
Mu!
Mu. It is a drug that is for cats. It would work for cats.
Oh, yeah.
That will stimulate the opioid receptor in the brain and actually cause, pain relief, analgesia, don't you know? And can also, if you're overdose on it, can stop you from breathing and all those things. But they would bring in cases of it and leave it around, and people started stealing it. Mm-hmm. And then they finally had to schedule it because they realized it was addictive as any other mu opioid receptor agonist. Mm-hmm. But in the presence of, say, morphine or Percocet, it'll actually precipitate withdrawal. So it's an interesting drug.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. So we do have that. You want to talk about influenza vaccine? Did you ever get your flu vaccine?
I mean,
it's okay.
I have very mixed feelings about it because I've listened to a lot of Instagram videos that that say that it's like kind of bad for you, and that the government is trying to lower everybody's immune system because when like you know.
Oh, so they're doing it on purpose.
Let's say, for example, when you guys were in high school, there was no mandatory flu shot.
Right.
And that over the aughts, that it's become required for more and more people to get the influenza vaccine.
Right.
Like, at first it started out with just infants and the elderly and people that are immunocompromised, which I totally understand. But then over time, like, every couple of years, it'd be like, all right, well, now it's healthy children should get it. Well, now everybody should get it. Well, now pregnant women should get it. And there's been no, like, conclusive tests on the effects of pregnant women getting the flu vaccine that I've seen.
Okay. Let's do a PubMed search on the influenza.
Looks like I'm wrong.
No. Dr. Scott's going to look up on PubMed.gov. It's PubMed.gov now, which is the National Library of Science. It's a repository of all the peer-reviewed medical literature. And that's one I didn't look up, was pregnancy. I've got some other stuff, but I didn't look up pregnancy.
You mean so, big flu? I've also heard that
big flu.
Big flu. That there
he's on meds, too.
That there's, like, aluminum and there are chemicals in these flu vaccines that, like, over time can fuck with your brain and cause, dementia.
That's a great question. So the original concern about metals in vaccines was mercury. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think there's any mercury in influenza vaccine anymore, if there ever was any. They used it as a preservative. It was thimerosal. And, thimerosal, ethyl mercury-based preservative used in vials that contain more than one dose of vaccine to prevent germs, bacteria, or fungi from contaminating the vaccine. And then at one time, it was people had the concern that the thimerosal in these vaccines that were given these kids, because, look, my kid was traumatized by his vaccine schedule because I remember them holding him down and three nurses coming at him with needles from all sides and just sticking them in his thigh. And he's still, he has needle phobia to this day.
That would do it.
Wow.
Yeah. And, but people were worried that they were getting this cumulative dose of thimerosal postulated that that was one of the contributing factors for kids getting autism. And that has been pretty thoroughly debunked. But a lot of vaccines now you can get that are thimerosal free. Now, I'm looking here. Flu vaccines and multi-dose vials contain thimerosal to safeguard against contamination of the vial. Most single-dose vials and pre-filled syringes of flu shot and nasal spray flu vaccine do not contain any preservative because they're intended to be used once. So if your primary care is using single-dose vials, there's no metals or preservatives in that whatsoever. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
but
good.
But even if there are they, that they're not going to tell us. Like, I feel like the government keeps so much from us.
Well, but it's the manufacturers. Okay, also a great question. The vaccines are sold by private companies. They're in it to make money, but they are under rules and regulations that require them to declare every single thing that goes in these things. And so all your drugs, even the binders, they have to declare what that is. Dr. Scott it wasn't even under FDA regs when he came out with his herbal supplement called Stress Less. Mm-hmm. Or Fatigue Reprieve, which you can get at simplyherbals.net. Mm-hmm. But you had to go through all kinds of bullshit.
Everything.
For that,
we had
to have. It wasn't bullshit, by the way.
But I know what you mean. But even not being a pharmaceutical grade medication and technically just a supplement, we had to have them tested, and all of the ingredients we had a full spectrum analysis, and they have to have like a data safety sheet for these things. And, and even like you said, down to the binders. They have.
If you're using clay or starch or whatever,
if there's something in there that you didn't put in their list, they will bust your ass if they catch you.
And they
It's like those guys that were making the red yeast rice and putting statin drugs in there,
right?
And then saying, "Oh gosh, we're lowering everybody's cholesterol by using these supplements."
Of course, red yeast rice has
on its own. It's a statin
on its own has statin, you know, lovastatin or whatever in it.
So, yeah, but some geniuses were doing it.
Well, some of these cock pills too, Chrissy. They've pulled them off the market, and the FDA will just yank some off the shelves. And when they do a spectrum analysis or a GC mass spec on them, they'll find that they've actually got Viagra in them.
Right.
So these guys are doping their herbal supplements with Viagra just so that people go, yeah, this stuff really does work.
Yeah.
Where do we get those again?
That shit's not
those I can just send you samples if you need some of those.
Okay. I think it was funny that you kept saying yanking and pulling when it came to all these boner pills.
Well, yes, yanking them off of
They're
the
yanking them off, pulling them off.
I'm sure there
it's
was
that time of year for you, Steve.
Yes, it is. It's the 6 months almost here. Shit.
Hey.
All right, honey, get ready. All right. Anyway.
What do you say to people who say, "What is the point of getting a flu shot? It's only like 30-something% effective. Like nobody knows for sure what strain is going to be the most popular.
That's
it's a crapshoot."
So awesome, because it's absolutely all of these questions have some truth in them, and they're not even that one isn't even wrong. Sometimes it's as low as 6% effectiveness. So you have to understand how they make this thing. So right now we're still chasing mutations of the influenza virus. So the influenza virus hits the southern hemisphere during our summer, and then it comes up here during.
Ooh.
You okay? Uh-oh. She's gone. Wow.
I think her boss came in and just fired her.
I think so. I saw.
I hope not.
Well, that's weird. Well, it's more fun talking to her than you guys, so I'm calling her back. Oh, there she is. There you are.
I'm back.
Hello.
My video was making noise. I was trying to research, and then my video went on.
Oh, okay. Oh, you went to a website and a commercial started running?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Where I was the flu virus circles around the southern hemisphere during our summer and then kind of works its way up to the northern hemisphere. And so you've got researchers that go to the southern hemisphere and try to collect all these different flu strains and try to figure out, just knowing historically how it changes over time, they try to predict what flu strains we're going to have during our winter, during our flu season. And sometimes they're really successful. It can be as high as 60% effectiveness. Now, we got to define what effective means. When they say 60% effective, they're saying that you can reduce the number of people that would get it in a defined population of people by 60%. Now, but there's getting the influenza. Well, who cares? You know, if you get the influenza, you're sick for a couple of days. Who gives a shit, really? What you really want to be interested in is, does it prevent hospitalizations and does it prevent death?
Mm.
Because influenza is a son of a bitch. In 1918, which admittedly a long time ago, before we had ventilators and flu treatments and flu vaccines, there was
when you were born, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. I barely remember this, but my dad was alive during this. He was two. There was an influenza vaccine. It was a pandemic, meaning that it hit the whole world at once, and it affected only 10% of the population. So that means 90% of people didn't get it. But we still remember this one because it killed 10% of the people that got it. So you're talking 10% of 10% is 1%. This virus killed 1% of the Earth's population.
How do y'all track this stuff?
Well, they...
Yeah.
Like...
Epidemiology, that's pretty easy to do. Even back then, they were keeping records. This person has influenza because it's a defined syndrome. You know, they couldn't test for the virus back then, but they knew what it was. And yeah, there were probably a few people that just had regular old pneumonia that got caught up in that, or people that got influenza and then got post-influenza pneumonia. They're including all of those people into that number. But still, and then you just collect it. How many did you have? And you collect that data, and then you may not even have to extrapolate it. But so 1%, so 1% of the world's population. So right now the world is, what's the population of the world right now? Let's ask Echo. Echo, what's the population of the world right now?
7 billion.
That's what I was thinking. Well, she's worthless. Echo,
yeah, somewhere
is the light going on? This is very professional.
Did you say play Kanye West?
Right. Echo, what's the population of the world?
Echo, do I look pretty today?
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the world population today is approximately 7.61 billion.
Okay, so 7.61 billion. So what's 1% of that? Echo, what's 1% of 7.61 billion?
So really, when someone says you're one in a million, that's not even a compliment.
Million.
Damn.
So 76 million. Sorry, yeah. Chrissy. Echo was telling us 76.1 million people would die if 1% of the world's population were killed. So, yeah, 7 billion people didn't die.
Do you think with medical technology today, that would be a little different?
You think it would be less. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you do. And Cody... Gilmer's here, by the way.
I snuck in here.
Yeah, he snuck in. Chrissy, you don't know him, but he's a guitarist for the band Indie Ghost, who you will know.
Mm-hmm. Howdy, howdy.
He's a rock star, and he is his band is the most dynamic live band I've ever seen. And so we're lucky enough to have them in the area, and he's just kind of glommed onto our show because I pay him a couple
of bucks. Has he heard his intro?
That's not the only reason. Come on now.
Has he heard his intro yet?
No. Wait a minute.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, well, hang on, Cody.
I was kind of excited when I came in. I thought it was going to happen.
You're going to love this.
Well, because Cody, every time he came in, you know, it was like, well, what's wrong with you this week? And he would be like, well, this week, like he was actually doing a bit. And
it's still going.
Oh, damn it. I can't find it. It's very professional. This is our Thanksgiving show, so it really doesn't matter if we just fuck off.
Ooh.
They're loaded up on turkey and tequila.
They're listening to this after they're digesting. They're passed from turkey.
Right. Well, that's
all that tryptophan.
I like. Oh, here it is.
Here it is.
I think this is.
This is because we love him so much.
With a deviated septal heart, had my first hemorrhoid before I could fart.
Oh, I fucking love it.
Had every ailment from herpes to VD. my prostate exam made me have to pee. Cody, Cody Gilmore, the king of hypochondriacs.
There you go.
Oh, that's
you guys are too sweet.
I don't know if you can hear
that. Who wrote
that
one?
Scott actually wrote that.
You're quite the lyricist.
I produced it.
Thank you, counselor.
Played bass and played organ.
Organ, yes.
I dig it.
So that's our he's our resident hypochondriac.
Yes.
He's still there?
Is he getting flu shots or no?
Yeah, hell no.
Hell no.
Yeah, that's... there's formaldehyde in them. There's a little bit of
I don't know about all that. I just never have time, never gotten it, and I still don't today.
We had a listener.
You're a real man.
Thank you.
love connection has been made.
We had a listener.
Shots fired.
And he was the same way that you are. That's like, that's just BS. It's only young people and old people, and I'm neither one of those things. And he didn't get it. His whole family, on the way, after they left here, mm-hmm. they were moving to Oregon or
Vegas.
Was it Vegas? I thought they were moving to the Pacific Northwest. So. But anyway. On the way there, they all got influenza, and he almost died. He was on the ventilator for a couple of days. And whenever I have somebody that tells me, oh, influenza vaccine's stupid, you know, I just say, well, okay, talk to this guy, and I tag him, and then he jumps in, and, you know, I don't have to say anything else.
And I almost died.
Yeah. It's very anecdotal, no
you
question
started
about
to
it,
curb but, my appetite on it, but fortunately, I just... never have time to even think about an influenza vaccine.
I'll give it to you here, dude.
Ooh,
yeah,
okay.
We'll do it as a bit on the show. Just to, you know, it'd be a stupid bit, but I'll do it just to get you to do it. There's no. So I'm going to anticipate your next question, Chrissy. Is that you know people die from getting the vaccine, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that's also true. No vaccine is perfectly safe. There can be adverse effects and sometimes catastrophic adverse effects. The main one that we see with influenza vaccine is a thing called Guillain-Barré syndrome, and it's also called ascending neuritis. And Scott, I need you to look up the incidence of Guillain-Barré syndrome. Okay.
That sounds terrible.
So what it is the nerves starting in the motor nerves starting in the legs start shutting down, and then they ascend, and it can get up to the knee and then go back down, so you just got a droopy foot, or it can get up to the hip and you can't walk, and then it goes back down, or it can go all the way up to the respiratory muscles, and then you're on a damn ventilator, and some of those people will not make it. Now,
but at least you don't have the flu.
Right, but at least you don't have the flu.
Get yourself a bill.
Now, there is this risk of that. There's also a risk, though, of Guillain-Barré syndrome from getting the influenza. I first heard about Guillain-Barré not because of the flu vaccine, but because people were getting swine flu back in the 70s, and then they were getting Guillain-Barré afterwards. So there's a particular strain of influenza that is at risk, that puts you at a higher risk. So you can get it from the flu, too. So it's the immune system's reaction to the influenza proteins that causes this to happen.
There's also Guillain-Barré Ramsey, which was a child beauty queen who was killed at the age of 6.
Oh, my God.
We all heard of her.
Guillain-Barré Ramsey. Well, that's beautiful.
Guillain-Barré Ramsey. Beautiful girl.
Yes, she was very much so.
I don't think she got the flu shot.
It was a tragedy. Yeah. But,
she didn't get the flu shot.
There's a risk of that. Now, so what's the incidence of Guillain-Barré, Dr. Scott?
It says each year between 3,000 and 6,000 people might develop Guillain-Barré.
3,000. Okay, yeah. So what's the incidence of death from influenza in unvaccinated people?
No, you didn't ask me to look that up.
Oh, okay. Well, I can tell you what it is.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay, 109,000 influenza-associated hospitalizations, 8,000 influenza-associated deaths were prevented by the vaccine. So wait a minute. Okay, between 291,000 and 646,000 people worldwide die from seasonal influenza respiratory illness. So we're talking about a huge risk-benefit difference. So if 3,000 people get it, so what's your odds if, say, 150 million people get vaccinated? Let's ask Echo. Echo, what's 150 million divided by 3,000?
I feel like you've bugged Echo.
150 million divided by 3,000 is 50,000.
So your odds are 50,000 to 1.
What if I just lived in a bubble?
You can do that.
If you but like, let's say you've got a lot of other problems and you have the flu. You can't really attribute that person's death to the flu directly because there's a lot of other factors
there.
That's
right.
And it's like, so, I feel like people just use that statistic to be in favor. Well, you got to get the flu shot or else see all these people who died. It's like,
You can separate that out to, you know, how many of those people had emphysema, for example. It's bad if you've got emphysema and you get influenza. You're much more likely to have respiratory failure from that because you already have partial respiratory failure, right? That's the whole thing. So, number one, don't smoke. If you're not going to get your flu shot, by God, don't smoke. But if you if you do have emphysema, all the more reason to get your influenza vaccine because it may, even if it doesn't prevent you from getting the illness, it may prevent you from being hospitalized for it. So, in other words, if you get it, you'll still have a more mild illness. I'm 64 now. I got it when I was, I think, 58. And I had had my flu shot that year. And in, not only that, I had been exposed to my kids, got the flu mist, which is a live virus. And that gets spread all over the community. And it's actually a vaccine. That is kind of a conspiracy. You give it to these kids, and then they turn around and give it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's damn kids.
It's a live virus, for real. And so I got that. So I got a double dose of influenza vaccine, and I still got it. But I was sick for a day. They made me stay out of work for 7 days, so I had 6-day vacation.
You complained for more than a day, though. I remember that.
Did I? Well. Well, maybe I was sick for 2 days. It wasn't very long.
No.
I woke up with 105 temperature, though, and I'm like,
you were sick that one day.
I am going to die.
Yeah.
Is there any way that because you got two,
that caused it?
That's what actually caused it. You overdid it?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Either.
That would fall into Chrissy's thing that were there, you know, that they reduced my immune system.
Yeah. Big flu.
Big flu did it.
Well, you got to remember too, there's so many different variations of that flu too. You know, you might have just picked up one that you had not been vaccinated for. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, but I will tell you this.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm just very distracted because Chrissy is braiding her hair. She's very attractive.
Oh yeah. Hey, so the CDC says, and this is a recent article from the CDC, there you have greater odds of getting Guillain-Barré following having the flu than you do if you get a vaccine.
There you go. Okay.
This goes back to the swine flu thing you were talking about earlier.
Sure. You know, the interesting thing, this is totally off topic, but it impacts me because I was in that group. People who were old enough to have been exposed to swine flu during Jimmy Carter's presidency were actually immune or had protection against that last swine flu epidemic that went through. So it was weird. Usually the older folks are more at risk, but the older you were, actually, the more likely you were to be protected. And it was more, as usual, infants and the, you know, millennials that were at highest risk of getting the swine flu. So there are some benefits of being an old fuck. That's one of them. Not very many, but anyway. Any other issues regarding influenza vaccine? I know I haven't convinced you of anything, but that's okay. It's good to have this conversation, though.
Yeah.
Here we go. So they studied 3,100 patients, and among hospitalized influenza positive, so these were people that came in with influenza that were hospitalized because of it. And if they had been vaccinated, though, they still got it, and they still got admitted. But they had a 60% reduction in the odds of ending up in the ICU. Those are people that, you know, are getting the tube put down their throat and put on life support. I mean, if you have influenza, that's, you know, really the only way you're going to end up in the ICU is if you're sick as F and they have to intubate you, you know, breathe for you on a ventilator. So that, to me, and they had, if they did end up in the ICU, They had a shorter ICU length of stay. So still, even though you get it and you've been vaccinated and you got it anyway, you're going to have milder illness more likely than not. So I just don't... I don't want you to end up in the hospital. I like you.
Well, I have great genes, so I'm fine. Thanks. No, I had to get a flu shot last year because my sister-in-law made it mandatory because I had like a little baby niece, and I didn't, you know, she just asked me to get it, and I was like, all right, fine, I'll get it. But
okay, good for you. Well, I'm going to give you a little round of applause for that. So now that you've kind of broken the ice, but you didn't get one this year, well, that's fine. You know, I'm not here to tell you what to do.
I don't know. I just feel like it's not worth it. I'm really worried about, like, accumulating aluminum, like, unnecessarily.
Okay, so let's do that one. Because, so do you use deodorant?
Nope. I use Hippie deodorant.
Oh, you do? Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hey, I've sampled a lot of different brands, okay? I found one that actually
Okay, works. Tell us, because we've had this question.
I think it's called La Vanilla. Yeah, La Vanilla. L-A-V.
So it's vanilla smelling stuff?
It works.
So it just smells like vanilla flavored B.O.
Yeah.
I don't wear deodorant at all.
You shower every day,
yeah.
And you're not going to smell. I mean, for me, it works, but, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not eating, like, a ton of meat anyway, so my sweat isn't, like, nasty.
And so there's a bacterium that lives on the skin called Micrococcus luteus, and that was, I talked about
it. Oh, I think I dated that guy.
old Micrococcus.
Yeah.
I did a thing on Howard Stern show about it when they did, I helped them sample all the staffers to see who had disgusting bacteria. And I don't know if you know Richard Christie, but just for people who didn't hear it, Richard had more fecal bacteria on his hands than he did on his ass crack, which was kind of a funny result.
How do you manage that one?
Well, when you do these samples, they're not perfect. You can't see where everything is, so they may have they might have hit a particularly clean part of his ass crack or a particularly hard, you know, it just, and there's a little bit of luck involved in,
in washing your hands.
In, you know, when you sample these things. Can I have a sip of that?
Yeah, get you a pull.
Swaller.
You guys talk.
I actually have a weird question about all that. Something. Talking about BO and showering and things of that nature. I honestly don't wear deodorant.
We're well aware.
Oh, really?
No, for real, yeah.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, you stink.
People never tell me that. I wish more people would. Maybe I would get around.
They're not your friends. I'm your real friend.
Yes. You're my real friend? I'm around enough assholes, I feel like someone would tell me. Anywho, I will say today is a little exceptional running over here. But
sorry, I
found
I hit the wrong
less
cough
I shower,
button.
The less I stink.
Wow, you're definitely not Indian.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
Ew. No.
Everybody.
No, it's. I don't know if there's any relevancy to this. That's why I'm asking. But the more if I shower, and I'm not talking about not showering at all. Obviously, you have to shower. But I'm saying, like, if I shower, like, every day,
yep.
I tend to sweat and stink more.
That's interesting.
Because your body is developing a protective layer of
that's how I feel about it.
Of oil. She's right.
That's how I feel about it.
She's actually right.
I think you may be right on that.
And plus, you know, what it also does is it protects you from bacteria getting into your skin and getting you sick. So you're actually kind of getting a protective layer. It's like a force field. It's a force field.
There's no question that we are overly clean.
Yes.
And we live with certain colonies of bacteria, and when we wash them off every day, they're like, oh, fuck, we got to start all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, and plus
so there is something to that.
Yeah, and your skin being your largest organ and a protective mechanism, it keeps a lot of that bacteria. If you don't keep washing out those protective oils, you've taken away part of your body's defense system, those protective oils. So maybe your armpits are so matted from the oils, there's no oil.
Yeah, they're mad at you.
There you go.
Or he doesn't have a big colony of micrococcus.
Yeah. Because he doesn't have a lot. He's got a macrococcus.
You have to have
the great personality.
Right. Makes his own clothes. You have to
have a nice car.
Have those right colonies of bacteria
all right.
to break down those oils to create the smell.
Right.
So I know you're perfectly clean and have no gross bacteria on you, so that may be part of it. There's another one called Lumi that works really well, from what I hear. Now, none of these are antiperspirants, though. And my problem is, I don't want to walk around, and you may not sweat a lot, but you know, I wear black scrubs now at work, but before, when I would wear my regular Brooks Brothers shirts, you know, if I put my arms above my head and you got a big pit stain, it's just disgusting.
I'm that way.
Right.
Always have.
Are you?
I used to be made fun of for that, actually, growing up.
They called you pit stain?
Ooh, it was bad.
Here comes pit stain.
The good news is now I wear all black shirts, so never a problem.
Right. Okay. Well, so I've had patients that come to me saying, you know, people at work are complaining I smell bad. And they'll put cologne on, and it's like all you're doing is making BO flavored cologne.
It's worse. Mm.
And so you know, really, an antiperspirant is the key to preventing that. But the problem with that is,
I'm not kidding.
The problem with antiperspirants is, as Chrissy brought up, is that, you know, they're laden with aluminum, and there is some question whether there's some any absorption of that. I've not seen any compelling data that says that using aluminum deodorants causes dementia or anything like that.
Putting it on your skin every day, your largest organ, that's going to have zero absorption.
I'm with you. I see. But the only thing I can go by is the data. And also, even if the data showed that there was a 1% increase in risk in dementia, I would still use it because I don't want to stink. And I hate that feeling of sweat under my pits. It's just disgusting to me. But that's because I've become accustomed to not having that feeling.
Antiperspirant honestly, it made it worse. The only thing that makes me actually like, and I'm sorry that I smell today, but the thing that gets, sorry,
you don't
guys,
smell you today. Don't I don't smell you today.
Oh, gotcha.
You do.
Anywho,
smell.
It mostly is stress and sex.
Yeah.
Those are the two things. Like, if I fuck, I like.
Well, I thought you said stress and incest.
No, I said and sex.
I thought you said incest.
Thank God, I did not say that. But I like I said, I don't know if there's any relevancy to that. But if I'm not stressed out, which I have been very stressed out today, usually it's
We are from Tennessee, so I understand why you assumed that he said incest.
You sure got a party mail.
You stressed me out, begging my sister.
But I've found like as long as those two elements aren't involved, like for. I don't really need to shower all the time, and I don't really need to wear deodorant, and it's not bothering people to the point.
Yeah, just keep to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had to kick you out of the studio or anything.
I am still here.
Hey, Chrissy, we're actually running out of time. We need to get your plugs in. So,
just please follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Chrissy Mayer, ChrissyMayr. Check out my show, The Wet Spot, on Compound Media. It's every Monday night at 8:00. And, you know, we'll put up clips on social media, and, you know, sometimes we'll put a whole episode up on YouTube. Also, we're doing a live show, Comedians of the Compound, at the White Plains Comedy Club, December 13th. Come to that. And I'm also doing a live version of the Wet Spot podcast from The Stand on Wednesday. I think that's December 18th. And tickets are available for that now. And I'm going to announce the lineup pretty soon.
Are they going to live stream that or anything? I'd like to see that.
You know, I might just put it on my Patreon, or I might just tape it and then put it on Compound Media later, like if I'm on vacation or something. But
oh, you have Patreon? I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
What is
it? Yeah.
Patreon.com/what?
If you're interested, Patreon.com/ChrissyMayer for dirty semi-nudes of me.
Oh, really?
On vacation.
Get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah. There's different tiers and everything.
Oh, okay. I'm going for the mega tier, whatever it is. So, now,
something for the six-month celebration.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Well, we appreciate Chrissy being here. Her call just dropped. So, Cody, you got anything for us? Being the resident hypochondriac, you got anything today?
Oh, I didn't. I got a cat with one eye now.
Okay.
It doesn't have to do with me, but I'm getting ready to take him to the vet.
And I had a cat that lost its eye.
He seems pretty chill. We found him on the top of Roan Mountain.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Really?
Crazy enough, he ran across the road, and this is away from the houses at the bottom of the mountain, and I was like, he shouldn't be up here. And as we're trying to find this cat, I swear there is a bobcat or something way bigger stalking him.
But
we loaded him up, and he came home. And
you don't think it was the bobcat's kid, do you?
He might be.
God,
that'd be
what if
wild.
You got a little bobcat?
That'd No. He's definitely a house
just
cat.
Like, you know that shit's
black
happened
and white,
before. You know what that is.
Black and white, short hair house cat. But he is the kinda sweetest cool. little little guy. I don't think he's completely wild. I honestly think someone dropped him off, which is very
up
sad.
There. Or did you think he just climbed it?
Maybe he's from down. I don't know. But if anyone up on Rogue Mountain is missing a one-eyed black house cat,
tough shit.
He's close enough. He shouldn't be up there in the first place.
What, have you named him yet?
Mr. Pickles.
Oh, cool.
Mr. Pickles.
Have you not seen that show?
Oh, no. What? Who's Mr. Pickles? I don't know who that
is. Well, Mr. Pickles is, he's a, what's the way to describe it? It's an Adult Swim show. Just look it up.
Okay.
It's about a dog, though, but the colors are the same. Runners-up name-wise were Odin and what was the other one?
I don't know.
We almost called him Beelzebub, but Bubs for short.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that would fit with the theme of your most recent album, Satan's
Texas Vacation.
Vacation, exactly. So,
according to Steve, has nothing to do with Satan.
Or Texas or a vacation, but...
He didn't read the lyrics.
I guess I didn't. Well...
Subtle cues.
So, check out their album on Spotify. Can you buy it anywhere? Really, you guys are more of a live band, but...
See, that's another reason I want to get into coding and also create a website, because we should have a better merch present. But you can buy our stuff. Just hit us up. And
on Facebook?
Hit us up through Facebook. We have people order stuff. No, through Bandcamp. I'm so sorry. We do have a Bandcamp with a merch store.
Holler you do?
Us. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I need to tweet that out so people can get to it.
Hit us up on Bandcamp.
Just look, search Indie Ghost Bandcamp. Right?
I'll find out.
I don't know. Jesus, you are...
He's worse than me.
Not a good marketer.
No, right. I'm not. I'm too damn busy.
Hopefully he'll be a better coder than a marketer.
We're going to find out.
All right. It's Thanksgiving, so we're going to get out of here with a Thanksgiving-themed song, right, Dr. Scott? Tell us what today's Thanksgiving-themed song is.
This is I Know You Rider by the Grateful Dead. So for all of us traveling through the...
There you go.
The roads for Thanksgiving. This is it. Hope everybody has a great holiday weekend.
Yeah, and don't forget, check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, and we'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Thank you.